We will be, in the next undetermined number of Sundays, embarking on a journey through the Bible. We will be doing a series, what I've entitled, What the Bible Says About the Bible. Now, before we camp on any particular book and spend time going through a book verse by verse, and gleaning from all the wisdom and truth that is in a particular book of the Bible, I would like to discover in the next couple weeks or couple months, depending how long it will take, what the Bible teaches us about the Word of God. I don't want to go anywhere else other than the Bible. We have sufficient, authoritative, perfect, abiding truth for us contained in this book, which was what the Bible means. We need to, even though we know this, reinforce the foundation of our faith. What is our faith built on? It's built on the certain Word of God. We're going to continue in these weeks to learn just how extremely important the Bible is to our faith and all that we believe, how the Bible came about, to whom it was written, about whom it was written, the purpose of it, and we will ultimately just be going through the Bible from the Old Testament to the New to be learning about what the Bible is and what it says to us. It's always relevant. It's not a dead, boring, dry, flat book. It speaks to us today, and every single time you open up the pages of Scripture, you can be certain and assured that God is speaking to you. And so this week, just out of curiosity, I did some research, some statistical research. I wanted to find out what some statistics are regarding Christians or people who proclaim to be followers of Christ and whether or not they are spending time in the Word. And we know, sadly, that in our country especially, unfortunately, there are a lot of biblically illiterate people, meaning they're not spending time enough in the Word of God, if at all, which is a sad predicament to be in as people who follow Christ. We know that we come to know who Jesus Christ is and what he is all about and what our salvation is about through his word. We go to his word to be counseled by his word, to grow in him, to be sanctified. And if we only come to the word of God once a week or a few times a month, our growth will definitely be hindered. So this study I found on factsandtrends.net, it said that Christians say the Bible is God's word, right? At least we're starting off at a good point. The Bible is God's word. But even among Protestant churchgoers, so this was amongst Protestants, not Catholics or other religious cults, but just Protestants, only one-third spend time reading the Bible every day. Only one-third, so about 3 out of 10 people who say that they're born-again believers are spending time in the Word every day. And then it goes on to say that a third of Americans who attend a Protestant church regularly, 32%, say they read the Bible personally every day. Around a quarter, 27%, say they read it a few times a week. 12% read it only once a week. 11% a few times a month, and 12% rarely or never. Thankfully, that percentage is lower. At least people are engaged in reading the Bible, but it's a little too low for what it should be for the Word of Truth being active in our lives. One of the quotes, one of the leaders who led this survey and conducted this survey said, quote, Jesus prayed for his followers. Jesus prayed for his followers was that they would be sanctified by the truth of God's word. And he goes on to say, it's not surprising that the lives of those who spend time reading the Bible look more like Christ. You all know the phrase, you are what you eat, right? If you are on a steady diet of fast food, candy, ice cream, chocolate. Anybody getting hungry? Donuts. If you're only eating those things every day for your three meals, what do you think will happen to you? You'll start to get bigger. You'll start to get heart disease. You won't be able to be as active as you would like to be. And although it's okay to eat that stuff every now and then, if that was your steady diet, you would have serious health problems. You are what you eat. If you eat vegetables and fruit and protein and you obey your food triangle, does anybody obey that? What's that called? A pyramid? You will live a healthier lifestyle. You'll live longer. And the same goes if you read the Bible every single day. You are what you eat. We live on every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you are reading the Bible, you will each and every day progress to look more and more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, as I'm sure some of you skipped breakfast this morning, your stomach is gurgling and it sounds pretty loud right now. You're anticipating lunch and looking forward to a nice big lunch. And the same thing, if you skip out on reading the Bible every day, you're going to experience spiritual malnourishment. This is just how it is for those who are born again. You must eat the Word of God. You desire it. You love it. You can't get enough of it. Now, please turn with me to Matthew 7:24. And I just want you to know, I'm setting us up for this series that we're going to be embarking on in the next few weeks. So a lot of what I'm going through in regards to the verses, we're going to be doing a flyover, kind of getting a 30,000-foot view of the characteristics, the many facets of what the Bible is. So I really encourage you to take notes because I'm really going to be going quickly through a number of verses. And I would advise you and encourage you this week to go through those verses. It's not exhaustive. And just so that you would grasp and glean from what the Bible says about the Bible. Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. And I'm thankful Chuck has been going through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And this is at the end, the very tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus has been talking about what it means to live for him in the kingdom and to obey him. And you have heard what it was said, but I say, and he teaches on that. And then he says this, based on his authoritative teachings, he says, starting at 7:24 in Matthew, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, did you get that? It's kind of subtle. You don't just listen and hear God's words. You what? Act on them. They may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and great was its fall. Question for you. On what which foundation is your life built? Is it built on the Word of God, or is it built on something significantly less important? Are you considered to be, from this example, the wise person or the foolish person? The one who builds his foundation, his house on the rock, or one who builds his house, his life, his foundation on the sand? Are you building your life, your foundation on philosophy? Are you building it on psychology? Politics, religiosity, education, culture, science, on which foundation is your life built? So again, why are we going to be doing a series on the Bible? Why? I'm going to go through some points here. And if you are capable and able of kind of tracking with me and writing them down, or just remember them, this will tell you precisely why we're going to be doing this series. And like Peter in 2 Peter 1:12, he said, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Even though we have heard them and have learned them, it's always good to be mindful and reminded, because our minds sometimes leak and we forget the things we are taught. And as Christians, we need to be constantly reminded, because there are so many things in this world vying for our attention, trying to remove us from being in the Word, following Christ, and we have to be steadfast and in these things. And Peter said, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, to be established in the truth. So here we go. What is it about the Bible that is so profound, so significant, so amazing, so divine? Well, number one, the Bible is God's direct and special revelation to us. The Bible is God's direct and special revelation to us. Psalm 19 talks about how God speaks to us in two ways. First, through general revelation, by which we look up at the stars, the universe, we see the nature around us, and we see the wisdom and glory and might of God. But through that general revelation, we can't know about the specific details regarding who God is and how we can be saved, right? We need something special, more detailed, more specific, and that is what we have in the Word of God. Next week, we are going to be starting our series by looking at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 and those surrounding contexts, which states that all Scripture is God-breathed. Scripture is divinely inspired. Even though God used men, guided them, superintended their thoughts and their writings by His Holy Spirit, the Word of God is still the Word of God. Outside of general revelation, again, the primary way we can know who God is by reading His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. A lot of times people ask you, how does God speak to you? Is it through an audible voice, visions, dreams? Does He come and visit you while you are eating? Well, as Hebrews 1:1 says, in times past, God spoke in various ways, in various means to the fathers, but now He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, right? And Jesus Christ is the Word. If you want God to speak to you, where do you go? The Bible. And as the joke goes, if you want to hear God speak out loud, just read the Bible out loud. God speaks to us through His Word. You know that over 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone, the phrase, or something like this phrase, thus says the Lord, is spoken. The Bible tells us that it is God's Word. Listen to Paul's words from 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Who can give a hearty amen to the fact that the God we believe in and follow is the God who speaks? All the way from Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Point after point, verse after verse, He says, God says, let there be light. God says, and when He speaks, something happens because His Word is powerful. Another aspect, another facet of God's Word, it's like looking at a diamond and the many different cuts and facets of a diamond and how gloriously brilliant it is. God's Word gives wisdom. It gives wisdom that leads to salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. We're going to be talking about this next week, about Timothy, who learned through the Old Testament, through the Hebrew Scriptures, how to receive salvation, the only salvation that comes through by God. His word gives wisdom that leads to salvation. The gospel is known through the Bible. When you read, starting in Genesis, Genesis 3:15 is the first example of the gospel in the Bible. Some scholars and theologians call it the proto-gospel, the first gospel, Genesis 3:15. And from there on out, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament to Revelation, we learn about God's amazing grace and salvation. Also, the word has power to save souls. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. We must apply the word evangelistically. In our evangelism, in our preaching and sharing of the gospel, is the word of God on your lips. Because when the word of God is on our lips, God supernaturally uses that and applies that to that situation, and you don't know how God might use that word in that particular instance when you're sharing the gospel with someone. 1 Peter 1:23 declares, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable." That is, through the living and enduring word of God. Listen, if you want to be effective in the way you preach the gospel to others, know the word of God. Memorize the word of God. Use the word of God. As Brother Todd just read from Colossians, pray that the word of God would be rapidly spread, right? That was Paul's desire. In the book of Acts, we see that in all his epistles, that the word of God would be disseminated and would rapidly spread so that people might be saved by and through it. And because the word of God is imperishable, we learn from Hebrews 4:12 that his word is living, and it is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. How many of you go through periods in your life of sadness, anxiety, stress? You feel like giving up. You wake up in the morning, and you just want to throw in the towel. You don't want to go to work. And you see the Bible sitting there on your table. And it might take some effort to go there and pick it up, because you just feel like giving up. But then you open it and you start reading from it, and it starts transforming you and changing how you think about things. And it ignites a fire in you for the Lord and for Jesus. And it gets your mind off of yourself. You start to declare what John the Baptist said, "May he increase while I decrease. And my problems are in his hands." And when you read the Bible, it just speaks to you, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and it imparts to you the word of Christ, because you have the mind of Christ. It's living and active. It's not dead like other books. And not only that, it convicts you as well. How many of you might have sinned and then you read the word and then you go, uh-oh. Yes. Thanks for being honest. I know that happens to me often. I'm not living up to the standard, and there's no way I can live perfectly, but in our sanctification, as we grow to become more like Christ, the Bible speaks to us in how we can be more and more like Christ, and it informs us of our wrongdoing so that we may repent and turn to Christ and receive his forgiveness. Because his word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, we also know another facet, another angle of his word, is that his word is truth. His word is not a lie. John 17:17, Jesus was praying for his disciples and by extension to the entire church. He says, your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. The word of God is the means by which he sanctifies us. And that word simply means that he is transforming us day after day from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 says, glory to glory, to become more conformed and more like Jesus Christ. And the word of God is the means by which God does that through us and for us and in us. His word is truth. If you want to know what the truth is, you go to the word of God. God is not a liar like man, is he? He is not inconsistent. He is coherent. He is clear. And the only reason why we might not understand the Bible is because of the fuzziness and the sinfulness that is in our mind, and we need the word of God to wake us up. And because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, he can help us to illuminate the word of God to us. And because his word is truth, we also know that because God is perfect, his word is perfect as well. One of the passages I am really looking forward to for preaching is Psalm 19. It's one of my favorite psalms. The one I was talking about before, where the first six verses are about God's general revelation. And the remaining portion of the psalm is about God's law, his precepts, his word. And in Psalm 19:7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, and it is thus reliable. It is completely accurate and trustworthy without error or without contradiction. One of the words we hear floating around a lot regarding about what the Bible is that it is inerrant. It's not errant. There are no errors. Even though people want to come after us and say, well, I can find hundreds of contradictions in the Bible. Well, usually when someone says that to you, this is what I recommend. Just say to them, really? Can you tell me one contradiction? And most of the time, they cannot. It's just something they hear going around about the contradictions. And if there are so-called contradictions in the Bible, they can be reconciled. They most certainly can. And there are resources to help you show how the Bible is inerrant and doesn't contradict itself. How can it? You have to start with God, who is perfect and reliable and the creator. And if God is completely ethical and can't lie, he certainly cannot lie once, not even once, in his word. Let every man be a liar, but God be truth. But let God be truthful. And that's what he is, and that's what his word is. And because God is not a liar, because God is perfect and holy and righteous, his word is authoritative. His word is authoritative. It has power, and inherently it has the authority to command us what to do. Because God is the supreme authority. Psalm 24, I think Rick read that this morning, right? Psalm 24, was that? Yeah. It states that the earth is the Lord's and everything that dwells in it. He is the creator. And thus, he has the supreme authority about what he can say and command us to do. All authority resides in him. Another aspect of the word. And we're going to flesh that out about his authority in these coming months in regards to the series we're going to be engaging in. His word is eternal and it never passes away. Here are some verses that you could write down that explicitly defines that and explains that. Matthew 24:35, where Jesus said, though heaven and earth pass away, my words will never pass away. 1 Peter 1:25, though the flowers may fade and the grass withers, the word of God endures forever. Psalm 119:89, It's the longest chapter in the entire Bible, and it's all about the Word of God. Read it this week. Be encouraged by the Word by reading Psalm 119. But verse 89 also testifies to the enduring and eternal aspect of the Word of God. And a couple other things. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on about the amazing, profound reasons why we must be studying the Bible. His Word always accomplishes its intended goal. Some of you know Isaiah 55:11, where God says, Yahweh says, "So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." In other words, his word is infallible. It never, ever fails. And what it intends to do, it will accomplish. It is completely true and reliable in all the matters it addresses. And just two more aspects, two more facets about the Word of God. His Word is complete. There's nothing that needs to be added to it or subtracted from it. Jude 3, there's only one chapter in Jude, verse 3, it says, "Contend for the faith, fight for the faith, defend the faith, which has once and for all been handed down to the saints." You read Proverbs 30, verse 5. You read Deuteronomy, and you read Revelation, and there are dire warnings in there that states, do not add to the word of the Lord. And finally, his word is sufficient and profitable. And we're going to be leading into that next week from 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. Because all scripture is God-breathed, because all scripture derives its existence from God himself, it must be applicable. It must produce results. Because as Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training the man of God in righteousness. So when you read the Word of God, it's not just discovering about who God is or learning these deep theological concepts. The Word of God is profitable in helping you to live out the life that God has called you to live in Christ Jesus. Even Jesus constantly spoke the word of God. In Matthew 4 and Luke 4, as he was being tempted by the devil, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy and said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? Every, not some, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Every word. So, are you hungry right now? Not just for lunch that's coming up soon, but are you hungry for the living and enduring, powerful Word of God? If not, may you ask yourself why? What is it in your life that is prohibiting you from being hungry for His Word? What is stopping you and hindering you from going to it every single day? Perhaps you're spending too much time on the TV or the internet. A lot of distractions, right? I'm not exempt from that. Maybe you're watching too many movies instead of learning from God's Word. Playing too many video games. Maybe work has become an idol in your life. Or maybe there are some relationships which are good, but are taking away from the true main relationship that we have to be engaged in, our relationship with the Lord through His Word. So how do we respond to this? How do we respond to God's Word? Well, first, we must read it, study it, proclaim it, and pray it daily. We must be doers of the Word, not only hearers. It's important that we don't just listen to the preacher and then do nothing about it. We must love and treasure his word, like the psalmist in Psalm 119. It's something that we would sell everything for, right? The pearl of great cost, right? The gospel, the kingdom, God's word. We would die for it. It's what we live for. We should be in the business of memorizing scripture. It's something that must be a major part of our lives. We're quick to memorize song lyrics and recipes and lines from movies and people's birthdays and anniversaries, but are we quick to memorize God's word? The more you spend time in his word, the more you'll memorize it. The more you spend time with a person whom you love, the more you'll get to know them deeply and intimately. And the more you spend time with God's word, the more you'll get to know him deeply and intimately. With the word, we must be encouraged by its promises and yet mindful of its warnings. We must seek to obey its commands by prayer and the Holy Spirit. And we must, as the Proverbs, as Solomon talks in the book of Proverbs, we must seek to live by its wisdom. Like the air we breathe, we can't live without air and oxygen, and thus we can't live without the word of God and the wisdom that it provides us. It's more precious than silver and gold. We must defend and uphold the scriptures. In the book of Timothy, Paul tells Timothy that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. And so we must contend every day for the truth because there are so many false doctrines and teachings and lies out there. And we must proclaim the truth and fight for the good faith. We must be people of the book. When someone meets you, do they consider you a person of the book, the Bible? As Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God richly dwell within you. Is the word of God richly dwelling within you, or is it a distant stranger? Or is it a known friend? And just as a simple warning, we must be careful not to become complacent or worse, indifferent to the word of God. We have to fight for our time in the word, alone and with others. We have to work hard at reading it, meditating on it, day and night, teaching it to others, teaching it to our children. As I look at all the children here, I know that the families are diligent in teaching them. I can just see it by the way they live. And praise God for that. But I encourage you all the more to abound in that. Teaching it to your children, your family. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to do that. Peter said in John 6, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Where do you go for truth? Where do you go? Like a ship that's coming into shore to anchor, it requires a light to guide it. It requires that lighthouse to safely bring it to shore. If that light goes out, that ship will crash and sink, and all will be lost. Psalm 119 says, the word is a lamp to my feet. It's a guide to us. And if you're not walking by the word of God, you will certainly, as Jesus said in Matthew 7, have a great fall because you're being foolish by not building your life on his words. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from the 1800s, once admonished believers who were before him in his church, who are apathetic toward the Bible, listen carefully to what he said. May this perhaps speak to you. He said, most people treat the Bible very politely. They have a small pocket volume, neatly bound. They put a white pocket handkerchief around it and carry it to their place of worship. When they get home, they lay it up in a drawer till next Sunday morning. Then it comes out again for a little bit of a treat, and goes to chapel. That is all the poor Bible gets in the way of an airing. That is your style of entertaining this heavenly messenger. And then he says this. There is dust enough on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your fingers. if you've been neglecting the Bible, just go to the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, right? You can go to him today as a follower of Christ and read it every day. Begin today. Read it daily. Eat it up. Apply it. Teach it. Evangelize with it. Meditate. Sing it. Pray it. Let it be the vehicle by which you worship God. Listen to it in your car. Listen to it when you're working out. Choose a time each day alone and with your family to go through the Word of God. So as I said in the beginning, for the next undetermined number of Sundays, we'll be learning from particular key passages in the Bible regarding what the Bible says about the Bible and why, as I just laid out, it is so significantly important to our lives. And so to whet your appetite, the menu that we will be eating from in the next few weeks, we'll be going to 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4, which says, preach the word in season and out of season. We will be going to, as I said, Psalm 19. We're going to go to a gem, a portion of the Bible that some of us might not know that well, Nehemiah 8, where there was this resurgence and reformation of the Word of God amongst the Israelites. We'll be going to the Gospels to learn about what Jesus has to say about the Word of God. And we'll be going to Hebrews, where it talks about the living and enduring and abiding, sharper than a two-edged sword Word of God. I hope you are excited about diving into the Word of God to hear about what God has to say to us regarding His perfect, reliable Word.